Where you going, Rudy?
I'm in the goddamn club, aren't I?
Happy Halloween, Reddit Horror Club. As per usual, we are doing a special Halloween morning episode for you to listen to while you're sitting at work going, damn it, I wish I was celebrating Halloween instead of sitting at this desk. Why does my life suck so bad? God, no one loves me. And joined, as always, is Adam and Scott. This year, we decided to watch Casper.
Woot!
From 1980-something.
No, fuck no. It's
1990 something. I want to say 95. 95 it is. just went on IMDb and figured it out. So I'm going to be first to say that this is still one of my favorite kids' Halloween movies, and I was the one that was really pushing for us to watch this. I don't think Adam had seen it before, and I know Scott hadn't seen it forever, so I'm going to let them talk first and then go off on my list of what the biggest issues are in this movie. But go ahead.
Well, you're incorrect, man. I had this movie on VHS when I was little. I love this movie.
Okay, cool.
I've seen this movie like 50 times, but I rewatching it, I had forgotten everything except like the real key points, like what the plot was. So I watched it again, and It's okay. It's really? When you look at it with sort of like an older eye, and you start thinking about the implications of this movie. This movie's fucked up, man.
Yes, that's one of the two. There's two major issues I have, and that's sort of one of them. I'll go through my two issues first. I'll get them out of the way. So the one issue that I have in this movie, we're going to jump all the way to the very end of this movie, because that's where the two issues come from. Issue number one, Christina Ricci's mom is a total bitch in this movie, because she shows up and she's like, Casper, you did a really great thing. I'm going to give you the ability to be a real boy. And he's like, oh man, like Cinderella? Is it going to be till midnight? And she's like, no, it's going to be till 10 p.m. And he's like, Cinderella got till midnight. And she's like, well, Cinderella wasn't a 12-year-old boy. Whatever, fine. I like it. Anyway.
Guess what? Casper's not a 12-year-old boy. He's been in this house for like 100 fucking years.
But he died when he was 12. Regardless, he goes downstairs and they don't even get through a single dance before he turns back into a ghost, which leads me to believe that she granted his wish at 9:55. And capped it off at 10 o'clock, which is, like, super bitchy to me. Like, that infuriated me, and I never noticed it until now, but I was like, that's fucked up. That or he spent, like, 3 hours getting prepared to walk downstairs.
Which is he had to get his poofy pirate shirt.
The other issue I have in this movie is that at the end of the movie, the lies of Kat and her father either don't change at all or are far worse than they were previously. Because Christina Ricci's probably more of an outcast now that the whole school has seen her dance with a ghost in front of them. People are still going to think that she's crazy. And now they have to answer for the fact that they don't own this house and the bitchy lady that did died while they were hired there. And also, yeah. I feel like people aren't going to buy their story. And finally, Bill Pullman falls into a giant hole in the road and he dies, right? And then he comes back to the house as a ghost, and Casper's like, hey, I got this thing that's going to make you human again, right? There's still a dead body that's in a hole somewhere that is going to have to be identified.
I didn't even think about that shit.
Like, Like, there's questions that are going to be asked. Why a person who fits the look of Bill Pullman is alive in one house and dead in the middle of a street outside of a bar somewhere else. otherwise, I love this movie.
Well, here, I'm going to posit a... Okay, go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I love Christina Ricci. She's just such a great actress. And, I mean, she was probably, you know, like 13, maybe 14 when she did this film. But, I mean, she's a better actress. She was a better actress at 13 than probably 99% of people that ever style acting.
Yeah.
That are adults.
This movie has, like, the greatest lineup of cameos ever, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's just ding, ding, ding right off the bat at the beginning there. It's pretty amazing.
Does anyone have a favorite scene in this movie?
I think the part where they are eating breakfast and it's just slopping on the floor.
Okay. I absolutely love the entire sequence of all the different types of ways that Kerrigan has tried to exorcise the house, where you got, like, Dan Aykroyd popping up as a Ghostbuster, and that dude from SNL playing the shitty priest.
Okay, that part didn't make any sense. That is where my suspension of disbelief broke, because he's, like, they killed him? Like, he was dead, he had his head on backwards, but yet he was talking,
well,
he just walks away. Like, what's the resolution of that?
See, here's the thing with that. Because it wasn't until I was older that I totally got that scene anyway, which is that he walks out and he is, like, every element of the movie The Exorcist. Like, he's got pea soup splattered all over the front of him and his head's twisted around, like...
Yeah.
Like, I just... It's a throwaway joke, obviously, and it freaked me the fuck out when I was 5 or 6 watching this movie. Oh no, I guess I would have been like 10 watching this movie. Still, I don't like that people's heads are backwards. That's freaky to
me. It's creepy, and the CGI that they do it with looks just like fucking weird, too. It just really off and unsettling.
But I have to say the CGI of the ghosts holds up.
Yeah, no, I've seen the later Casper movies. I haven't watched them, like, from start to finish, but I've seen them on TV. And the CGI doesn't look as good as it did in this first movie for some reason. Like, it went too cartoony in the later ones, but I think that they had, like, a good mix of like, you could see through them, but there was still enough there that, like, you could see who they were, but they had elements of them that were clear. I don't know. There's just so many movie references. There's an awesome Jaws reference that I love when they terrify. There's like the group of construction workers and they're trying to tear down the building, and you know, there's just like a loud bang and they're all running away, and as they're running away, the one guy is he's yelling a line from Jaws. What the fuck was it? He's like, you know, run faster, run faster. Don't look back, Johnny. Don't look back. Which is like word for word the lines from Jaws when the shark pulls the deck out and the guy falls in the water and he's swimming back to the deck. like, I don't know. There's just so there's so many things I love in this movie.
Okay.
That is in the 90s. Steven is going to be so pissed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eat it, Steven. Okay, here's my theory, okay? So Kat's mom comes down, she confirms the existence of angels, I guess, or something after death in this universe that isn't just being a ghost, right? She muddles around in Casper's life, and if anything, I think 5 minutes of life is gonna make you more desperate than satisfied. And then talks to Bill Pullman for, like, 2 seconds and just kind of fucks with his head, too. And like you said, all these people are worse off than they were to begin with. And the fact that she's wearing red, it leads me to believe that she was sent by Satan. That she's a demon sent by Satan. That's the only explanation.
Which makes it all the better.
It does.
Also, how the hell, like, here's the thing that I've been wondering rewatching this movie. Did they just use, like, special effects a la fucking Forrest Gump to just digitally put Mel Gibson and Clint Eastwood and Rodney Dangerfield's faces onto Bill Pullman for that sequence? Or did they fucking hire these actors to show up for, like, 5 seconds of footage with no lines except for Rodney Dangerfield, who tells a joke? Because it seems like it's a waste of money on either side of it for such, like, a random scene. But, like...
Oh, I'm sure they did those for free.
Like, because they're both listed as cameos on the IMDb page, so I guess it wasn't like, you know, hey, we can just digitally get their face from, like, a different thing and put it on his body real quick.
No, I think they showed up. I think they showed up and did it.
It seems like everybody was... Like, there's no... I like this movie because there's no way that they weren't having a good time making this movie. And I'm sure it was stressful as all hell. Like, working with a film... Like, when you're working with a film where most of your characters are CGI interacting with live-action people, it's, like, gonna be a headache. But it seems like everyone's having a good time there.
For the most part, yeah.
It says also on the IMDb trivia... a scene with Zelda Rubinstein being shot out of the chimney while screaming, "Go towards the light," was in the movie, but cut at the last second.
Just fantastic.
Yeah, that would have been fucking amazing.
One second. There was a live-action sequel. Like
that was... Sundown. It's ready.
There was a live-action sequel that was proposed and drafted, but the film was considered a box office disappointment, and nothing ever came from it, except for all the shitty TV sequels.
Those are the only ones that are on Netflix.
Yeah. It made $100 million in the USA, but they still consider it a box office disappointment.
That's like a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, I'm curious what the budget was on this now.
Yeah, and this was like 95, right? It had to have been profitable.
Let's see. Okay, now this makes more sense to me, because Wikipedia is saying that it only made $55 million. Or no, the budget was $55 million. Yeah, what the fuck? The budget was $55 million, and it made $287 million at the box office.
Ah!
So, like, they more than made their investment. I don't understand how they're like, yep, nope, total disappointment, box office bomb.
But plus, like, it's... I've read this thing a while back about how there... Is it, like, called tent poles? Movies that they do that are gonna... That will pay for other movies regardless of... Like, it makes it easier to like, invest in other movies. And, I mean, if this movie was one of those other movies, because I don't know what studio this was and what else they were doing in 1995. I don't really care to go even look it up. But, obviously, this wasn't a tentpole, like, film. Yeah. They were like, oh, this is one that we'll just hopefully make our money back on. And they made four times that, like... I think the movie studios probably need to check their privilege.
They have the whole I forget what it's called, like the Hollywood Hollywood math, I think they refer to it as. But it's like the fact that accountants, Hollywood accounting is what it's called, where basically they have, like, these guys whose job is to basically, like, when you... They say, like, the dumbest thing you can do is sign a deal where you get a percentage of profit on a movie. Because they will do everything in their power to prove that the movie still hasn't made a profit yet.
No money.
Like, Michael J. Fox, and I know the guy who played Biff, specifically, in Back to the Future signed one of those deals. And he's like, I still haven't seen a penny from Back to the Future.
Damn.
Because they... Yeah, because they still say that the movie's in the red and hasn't made a profit.
That's awful.
Yeah, like it's like they just, you know, like, oh yeah, but we put this much amount into advertising and this much into DVD production, and like they just keep adding and adding shit onto the total to keep it from ever being like, oh, here's your percentage of the profits.
What a fucking kick in the dick,
yeah,
to have that deal on one of the biggest movies ever and not get fucking paid.
Yeah, and he's Biff. I mean,
like, yeah,
he's got to take that fucking almanac back to the past and
try it over again. Just don't be such a dick this time and maybe things will work out better. I'm sure if he was, like, a super nice guy and had, like, a pretty sweet, fair casino, Marty wouldn't have been like, God, I gotta fix this. He'd be like, oh, Biff turned out okay, and I'm rich. I'll stick with this new future. Anyway, sidetracking greatly from Casper.
Well, that's what we get to do in these discussions.
I hope that people actually are excited that we're talking about this movie, because I was excited when it came. I think it's literally like as soon as you and I finished recording the Hocus Pocus episode, I was like, we should do Casper next year.
Yeah, it's definitely been a year in the making.
like I was gung-ho that this was going to be the movie that we do. And I really think if no one picks it by next year, Paranorman might be a strong contender for next year's Halloween episode.
I don't think it's a contender. I think it is the only option.
Yeah, unless someone picks it first.
Nobody's going to pick it. Dude, the only person that picks stupid shit is me.
hello, sir.
Listen, I hope that my Elvira discussion has been going well enough that it's no popcorn.
Oof. Oof.
That was kicking the dick right there. Jeez.
As I was watching Elvira, I was like, oh man, I should have picked Waxworks. I love how that's my, like, barometer. It's like, damn it, I should have picked Waxworks.
If people only knew the, like, the 7 or 8 movies off the air that you're like, I'm going to pick this next round, and then you never fucking do. Like, there's, like, 7 movies that you've said you're going to pick without, you're like, nope, this round's the round, I'm picking it. And then you're like, I'm going to go with Elvira.
That doesn't matter, because the fact is that there's no secret that I was going to pick Humanoids from the Deep this time, and I didn't. Or last time, and I didn't. I'm usually pretty open with it, because once I'm like, I may or may not.
It's always either Humanoids, Poltergeist,
that's all I do is talk about.
Waxwork or Halloween 4 are like the 4
that you're on. What a weird fucking list of movies.
I think that pretty much covers all the films I want the horror club to have to endure.
I remember the last time that we had this discussion, you had this, like, amazing bunch of movies that you wanted to watch. And then
Matt just said what they were. That hasn't changed.
Well, I remember talking about some different awesome ones.
Well, Beetlejuice was in the hat at one
because
point.
Of Adam.
When I say amazing list of movies, I'm talking about all the movies that I suggested you should pick.
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
and then the pick list goes up, and you got fucking Elvira on the list. I was like, what the hell did you do?
I remember Adam messaged me immediately and was like, what the fuck happened with Scott's pick?
I'm not good at decisions.
This shit a joke. You think Horror Club's a joke?
Like, I got this list of awesome movies that we could watch, but fuck you, Horror Club. Fuck no fire.
You know, like, I can't win, so because I know that if I pick something from the 90s, like the original Buffy, that Steve will just throw a shit fit.
You know how excited I would be if you picked the original Buffy movie? I'd be so jazzed about that.
I just think that Scott and I, and I think you're starting to get there too, Adam, we're at the point where we've read enough comments to realize that we are never going to win over the people in our club.
Like, unless they pick a Serbian film.
Like, I have had to explain to about 14 different people this week that I don't hate Stanley Kubrick, that's Scott. And somehow I got pulled into the Matt hates Stanley Kubrick discussion. And all I said was that I didn't like The Shining, so thus apparently that negates the fact that I love, like, Clockwork Orange and 2001 Space Odyssey. I love all of his other movies. I don't like the one movie that you guys like, and thus I am the Stanley Kubrick hater.
Yeah, whatever. You are. Why do you hate Stanley Kubrick?
I don't know, Adam. Why do you hate the Jews?
All right. You got me. I'll shut up.
He's Canadian. They don't have him up there. He's just confused by
him. I've seriously met one. So, yeah, you're pretty correct on that.
So Casper, I do want to, there's one other thing that I want to say, and this is like, this is fucking movie nerd shit here, but Casper legitimately has one of my favorite music scores. I fucking love the score to this entire film. Specifically, I have the one song, it's called Casper's Lullaby, and it's a, it's just a piano piece that plays in the background of the movie throughout, and I fucking think it's gorgeous. Like, I think it's one of the most gorgeous musical scores. I think it's James Horner did the score, but I mean, I love it. I think that it's... I need to actually go out and buy the CD of the whole thing, because rewatching it, I'm like, man, every little choice is perfect in this film. But I'm alone in that. It does have a sweet-ass pop song that they dance to at the end, which I'm probably going to put at the end of this episode. so that you guys will remember us this way.
we're like, all of the Uncle Ghosts are like pretty much in blackface at the end of the movie. He's kind of like Jerry curls and like... A Michael Jackson jacket.
No, not the Little Richard version of Casper the Friendly Ghost. I'm talking about the song that Devin Sawa and Christina Ricci slow dance to at the end of this.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
Every now and then, your friend.
Yeah, you're on your own for that one too. Okay, I have three things that I want to get through.
Go for it.
The first one is how incredibly fucking dark this movie is.
Oh yeah.
And how fucked up some of the stuff that goes, like, when we just pump the brakes in the middle of this movie and Casper tells us this horrible, horrible story about his mother dying and then him getting pneumonia and dying and then his dad going to an insane asylum. And this is like... judging by the paper, this is like the 1800s. The 1800s, an insane asylum would be a really shitty place to fucking be.
Yeah.
He was just taken there because he was trying to bring his son back to life. It was fucking awful. Like, holy shit. Casper is a goddamn creep. He's putting his dead mother's wedding dress on the girl that he has a crush on. I don't know. You take away whatever psychological implications you want from that. That's a little fucked up, Casper. And then at the end where he's like, I told you I was a good dancer. Can I keep you? It's just like, chills up my spine.
Casper is most certainly going to kill Christina Ricci before she gets too old. so they can be ghost pals for the rest of their lives.
You know what? The day before I watched this movie, I was looking at a bunch of pictures of Christina Ricci naked. So I felt really bad.
from Prozac Nation and Big Black Snake Bone.
No, not Black Snake Bone. This was newer. She got some nudes. It was like production stills from a movie, like, you know, from an actual film, not just like some nudes or something, but. Yeah, I felt pretty dirty watching this movie.
Hey, I've had a crush on Christina Ricci ever since I was a kid and I saw this movie, so I rented Prozac Nation strictly because I was told that at the beginning of the movie she's just sitting topless on her bed, and it's a really awkward scene, and then the rest of the movie I couldn't care less about. But I was like, hey, there they are! Woo!
Yeah. She's just a great actress and gorgeous, and she seems like a really nice girl, and she has like a great taste in movies to do.
Did you ever you know, see like, her on 7 Minutes?
Penelope was phenomenal.
Penelope was awesome. Did you ever see her on the YouTube show 7 Minutes in Heaven?
No.
Are you even familiar with the YouTube show?
No, I don't really watch YouTube for. Nope. I don't follow anybody on YouTube. I watch like whatever Reddit makes me watch.
He's a dude who it's this really awkward guy who writes for SNL. So he came up with this YouTube show where he would interview guests in a closet and call it 7 Minutes in Heaven, and the episodes always end with him kissing them, whether it's a guy or a girl. But, like, the one with Christina Ricci is probably one of the best ones because his questions are really, like, bizarre. And she just comes off so adorable and weird. Like, and she actually doesn't mind being kissed by him. The other really good one is Insane Clown Posse.
No.
he starts listing off lyrics. Like, he starts doing, like, the Chris Farley show thing where he's just, like, remember when you guys said, and he'll like read one lyric and they're like, yeah, that's from this song. He's like, and remember when you guys said this? And like, yeah, this song. He's like, remember when you guys said this? And like, no. He goes, yeah, I just wrote that one. like, it's just the most bizarre, awkward interviews. And it's so claustrophobic because it's like always a closet that's way too small for multiple people to be standing in. it's such a bizarre but awesome premise for an interview show. I'll show you guys the Christina Ricci link when we wrap this up. But do you have any more notes, Adam?
Yeah, just, what the fuck is Casper's unfinished business?
I think he was supposed to help his dad. Which reminds me that he's kind of a dick, because we've established that ghosts exist. Casper has shown himself to multiple people, because we see him terrifying people constantly. The entire high school saw him at the end of the movie. So when the insane asylum people came to take his dad, there was never a point where he's like, I should probably prove to these guys that ghosts exist, so maybe they won't put my dad in the insane asylum.
I guess not. What the shit were you doing, Casper? Were you just out at the time? Or like,
he was busy hanging out with the ghostly trio, who I have a lot of questions about their origin story, because he refers to them as uncles. But like, I get the idea that they're just three dudes who were like, hey, I heard this 12-year-old kid's got this house all to himself. Let's roll into town and just fucking take that shit over.
And torture him for the next century. But I would imagine that Casper's unfinished business was to like use that machine and turn back into a real, like, a living boy. But once that red vial is gone and they use it on Bill Pullman, that machine's useless forever now. He's never going to become a living boy. So isn't his business over? Shouldn't he go the way of the bitchy chick and go to heaven?
Oh, by the way, I don't know if it was the 1800s. I forget what year it was, but when he gets that baseball and he says who signed it, I did Google that guy. Just to find out when that guy was an active baseball player, assuming that he got that baseball before he died, and I think he was, like, from the, like, 30s.
Okay, because I'm just showing off, like, the way that the newspaper looks, like, with the article about his dad and stuff, which is just, like, a one sheet that looks super old and yellow and brownish.
Well, and then, I mean, he built that sweet get-up-and-go thing that basically looks about the same as the serial killer ride in House of a Thousand Corpses. just with razor blades and toothpaste firing at you at random points.
This movie was an inspiration for Rob Zombie, that's for sure.
Absolutely. He watched this and he's like, I've got my whole career ahead of me now to make these films real. All in all, though, I still really like this movie. I think that it, for the most part, it does a really good job of, like, the jokes still hold up, the pop culture references still work years later, and the sad dramatic points still work as well. Like, it strangely holds up well almost two decades later.
Yeah, no, it's a good, It's a great little Halloween movie, you know, for a young kid. I mean, I'm probably, you know what, I probably will watch it again next year. I got the DVD now. I got it at Walmart for like $3, so fuck it. It's in the collection now. I'll probably watch it again next year.
Yeah, I don't even need it to be Halloween to watch this sometimes. Every once in a while, I'm just like, I'm in the mood to see what the ghostly trio's been up to. See if they're doing anything new. Nope, same thing they did last year.
You guys know why I like this movie, right? Because it's got Mel Gibson in it, and me and that guy have a lot in common.
We know why, too.
Scott, one day I want you to tell him the truth.
What?
About your heritage.
Ah! Just because I have a big nose.
You know 1.5 Jewish people now, buddy.
Oh, great.
We almost got you up to 2.
See, now I feel I was, like, too kind to Elvira.
All right, well, you already know what's coming up in the next couple weeks. I'm not going to play the Sunset Boulevard 3-minute-long trailer again. So, if you guys got any plugs that are different than what they were 3 or 4 days ago, let them fly. But otherwise, I'm just going to take us out on Jordan Hill's delightful 1995 hit, Remember Me This Way, as heard in Casper the Friendly Ghost, a.k.a. Casper the Movie.
See the love you bring to me.